going to be great. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to worship you. We come to count you worthy, Lord, more honorable than anything that we know or possess. We come, Lord, to examine what you have to say to us. We come, Lord, to submit ourselves to your word. We come to bow low before you because you have something to say to us that's very important. We come this morning, Lord, expecting you to instruct us. And we come this morning, Lord, knowing that your Spirit is the only way that we can open the Word of God and know the mystery of what the world is saying. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will guide us so that we will be enlightened by what you have to say. Now, in this season, Lord, of Thanksgiving, lead us to understand it and to practice it because it's vitally important, as you have told us. But help us to know this morning why. And I pray this morning, Lord, for all those who are desperate, including myself. For, Lord, I am desperate because of the old nature that I still possess. I am ashamed, Lord, many times of things I think and things I say and things I don't do that I ought to do. Because I still am struggling with my old nature. But thank you, Lord, that you've put the Spirit in each of us who have come to know Jesus and each of us who have been born again. And so we have a fighting chance, Lord, to be victors. And more than a fighting chance, you are determined, Lord, that in the end we will be just like Jesus, your Son. And thank you, Lord, that that is our hope. And that's what you're working on, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we turn in your word, I pray that as we look at Psalm 100, that we will realize that this soaring psalm, this important, majestic thing that you have to say to us, is so instructive. And though it is brief and it's short, you have so much to say to us. So I pray, Father, that you will open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our heart that we will change life strategies, so that we will be like Jesus. More than anybody here, Lord, help me, for I'm the least among all. Lord, may you give us your grace today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would get your message notes out of your bulletin, please pull them out. I want to give instruction this morning as to how to worship according to the Word of God. There are a lot of people who talk about worship, but what is it that God has to say about worship, especially in the context of Thanksgiving? Worship, by the way, always follows Thanksgiving. It's like bicycle tracks in the snow. When you look at a bicycle track in the snow, it looks like there's one thin line. But in fact, there are two tires that made the impression. First comes thanksgiving, and then comes worship. It's the natural order of loving God. God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But how do you love God? Well, loving God is synonymous with worshiping God. If you worship God, you love God. If you love God, you worship God. This is what the Lord is talking about. We worship by who we are and how we live out our lives. It's the natural order of things that first comes thanksgiving and then comes worship. And it comes immediately afterwards. Psalm 100 is an instruction sheet on how to move thanksgiving from my head to my heart. And I like to make a list of things that I'm thankful for. It's important for us to do that, to go through the exercise of thanking the Lord for 1, 2, 3, 4, and you get tired after a while because you cannot make an exhaustive list, as we all know. But what about moving that list from my head to my heart? Not just knowing about God or knowing about loving God, but loving God, worshiping God. The psalmist of Psalm 100 gives us 7 necessary steps for transferring thanksgiving from our head to our heart. And it's thanksgiving from our hearts that honors the Lord, not thanksgiving from our heads. Thanksgiving is not like a grocery list. We don't fall in love with a grocery list. When you're finished with the grocery list, you just throw it away and you don't think about it again. Heart thanksgiving is like sitting with the one you love and going through a cherished photo album. That's love. It is thanksgiving from the heart that ascribes to God worthiness of adoration. The word worship actually means to count worthy, or better, to count as the worthiest of all. So I'm going to give you this morning 7 imperatives for moving thanksgiving from your head to your heart, because that's the point of Psalm 100. And if you'll notice in your pullout, I'm going to read, and you may wish to follow along, Psalm 100. I underlined the Hebrew imperatives. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands is a synonym for everyone. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and enter into His courts with praise, and be thankful to Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. How many generations of humans have there been so far, by the way? If you study the Bible and you try to be exhaustive, it comes out, I think, to about 500 generations so far. But God's not finished yet. To all generations. The first requirement, the first imperative that he mentions is make a joyful shout to the Lord. Now, when you come to Beulah, you should plan on being loud. I know that some of our brothers and sisters who love the Lord just as much as we do like to go into a dark, quiet cavern to worship the Lord. We're not doing that here. When you come here, it should be loud. When you walk into this room, the sound people should have great music going and shouting to the Lord. You know why? Well, it's because of this verse right here. Everyone make a joyful shout to the Lord. And so I'm asking you, when you come here, plan to be loud. Because this is a festive thing that we do when we worship the Lord. Blow the shofar, the big ram's horn. Get involved personally. By the way, worship is a verb. Worship is not something you watch other people do. Worship is something you do. And that's one of the points of the psalmist that he wants us to understand. Use your voice. Did you notice that the command is for everyone? Read the verse again. Did you notice it says, all ye lands, if you're in the King James? It means everybody. No one's excluded. Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. So when we practice public worship, if you come, if you sit silently, if you endure the service in your soft seat, and we made sure you had a nice soft seat, and you get up and leave, my question to you, did you practice Psalm 100 worship? No. You have to make noise to the Lord in order to obey the Lord's instruction here. The imperative word that makes this command is the word make. And that's why I underlined it. It requires initiative. You make, in other words. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. You make a joyful noise to the Lord. Get up and shout. Make noise. Be festive. Well, that's supposed to be Beulah's experience of worship. Now, in order to make sure you understand that, I want you to hear the words of Jesus. And I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 19. You can see it on the screen. As soon as Jesus was approaching Jerusalem near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the entire multitude of the disciples began praising God and adoring Him enthusiastically and joyfully and loud. For all the miracles and the works of power that they had seen, and they shouted. Have you seen God do something in your life? Raise your hand. Why are you so quiet? Here's what they were shouting. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees, they were of a different denomination, from the crowd said to Him, Teacher, teacher, rebuke these disciples for shouting. And Jesus replied, I tell you this, if these people keep silent, these stones will cry out in praise. Even Jesus was reinforcing Psalm 100. That's the first imperative. It's a demand from the Lord. When you worship the Lord, it's not a quiet little thing, though you might have a quiet little feeling. You worship the Lord in gladness, shouting to Him, according to Psalm 100. The second imperative is to serve. Serve the Lord with an attitude of gladness, he says. Worship from the heart is not a forced obligation. I come and make noise because I want to in my heart. It is because God dwells in the assembly of His people that I am so glad. I am commanded in verse 2 to bring myself here among you to serve. To serve the Lord with gladness. And that means I am to contribute something when we gather together. I give to love to my God by loving my brothers and sisters and joining them in this great adoration of Yahweh, the great name of our God. I take on myself an attitude and an action of a servant in the body of Jesus. The Lord wants us to serve one another. And that's a command. It's not a suggestion. Serve one another. We don't just see that in Psalm 100. We see it throughout the Bible. And especially do we see it in Paul's epistles and how the church ought to operate. There's a third command that is not a suggestion. And that is the word come. Take the initiative to be here. That's what it means. It's a demand that you come. I know about myself is that I do intently what I plan to do. Now, if there's something coming up and I don't plan to do it, it's just an option. But if I plan to do it, it's not an option. It's something I'm going to do. Many people don't plan to come to worship. They wait till Sunday and think, I wonder if we ought to take the option. I mean, it's just an option. But the Lord says by this command, come, plan to do it. And if I plan to come, then when worship comes, I'm there. It's not simply an impulsive option that I have that, oh, well, wonder what's going on today. No, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to do it with gladness, and I'm going to do it with loudness. The Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Is it heart worship driven by thanksgiving if coming to corporate worship is merely one of my options on the Lord's day? No, it's not just one option. It is the thing to do as I follow the Lord. This coming I do on Sunday morning, on the day called the Lord's Day, it's planned and it's intentional. And when we come, the command is to come in a certain way. Did you notice in the verse? Did you notice? When you come, come singing, is what it says. Music is critically important in worship. Singing and making melody is a heart language that transcends Greek, Hebrew, and English. And when we make music together, the word says this, and I'm reading to you from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. As a matter of fact, let's all read it together. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. If I just sing and it's not out of my heart, it's not worship. The heart is the place where you keep all your treasure, what you really honor, what really matters to you, your real strategies about life, your real goals for the future. Your real way of living is in your heart. Now, what is this singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? In other words, we are to worship the Lord with something that is not held down by any language. It is not constrained. I was in Haiti in 1979, and I was absolutely amazed at the first time I was at a church service where people unabandonedly praised the Lord. I did not know Creole. I knew the song they were singing. And tears ran down my face. There was not room to get inside the building because the Christians there are quite poor. You stand outside the stucco building and there are no windows, they're just openings. And for miles, for miles, people can hear them shouting and singing to the Lord from their hearts. I was utterly amazed at that. You see, it's not just English, it's not just Greek. That's why music is so important. Now, what do these three things mean? Singing and making melody in your heart. Well, first he mentions making melody with psalms. What are psalms? Psalms are songs or music that's written by the Holy Spirit. That's what a psalm is. God is so good. God is so good. Now, you might not find that little hymn or psalm in the book of Psalms. A psalm is any song that was written by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know what was written by the Holy Spirit? It's in the Bible. It's the words of the Bible. And when you read the words of the Bible, you are reading a psalm. And if you put it to song, which you can do, by the way, it could be part of your regular worship at home, in your private life. You can make up lyrics to God, or you can use the Word of God itself and put music to it and make that your own private worship. We often do that here. A psalm is a song that is Scripture. That's what a psalm is. And then he says hymns. What's a hymn? A hymn is a song that is written to God. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, When we sing songs like we sang this morning in the first hymn that we did, what was the name of the first song we did? To God be the glory, great things he has done. That is not a psalm, that's a hymn. It's a hymn that we made up to God. And we address it to God, and we sing it to God, and that's what makes it a hymn. A spiritual song is a third category that is in the scripture. And that is when we sing to one another lyrics set to music that has the purpose of edifying one another, that we build one another up in our faith. We're singing to one another, not to God. We're singing to one another. And sometimes we sing songs like, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." We're not singing that to God. We're singing that to one another to encourage one another. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Isn't that great? Now, so far we've looked at three commands that are necessary for Thanksgiving worship. Let's go to the fourth. There is no true worship without thanksgiving from the heart, which I've already told you. So Psalm 100 gives us this fourth command, and that is that we know God. The operative word here is know, K-N-O-W. And you'll notice in the outline that I've given you, that word is underlined because it's an imperative. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. That we know God. We don't gather to only know about God in our heads. We gather to know God in our hearts. The command to know God when we worship has content. As a matter of fact, notice what it says in Psalm 103, verse 3. Know and fully recognize with gratitude that the Lord himself is God. Now, when I say that to know him has content, means there are certain things that he has given us to be instructed about that help us to know him and know who he is. One of the things that you can know about him, if you're going to know God, is that it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Does the world believe that? No. We gather, we come together, and we believe that. We step out of the world, we step in here together, and we believe that it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. The world doesn't believe that. They believe the opposite of that. That's knowing God. That's part of knowing God. It's part of his curriculum of worship. He has made us and not we ourselves. And we are his. We have belonging. We belong in his family. Isn't that amazing? That's part of knowing God. You are heirs of Christ Jesus. You are sons and daughters of the Lord. We are his people. We belong to him. And we are the sheep of his pasture. He's our shepherd. There are certain things that will make you worship God if you stop and meditate on it. It'll make you thankful because all these things that he mentions are unique to God's people. The world does not believe these things, nor does it receive these things. Heart thanksgiving is more than knowing about Yahweh. Heart thanksgiving is knowing Yahweh. Worshipful thanksgiving to him that he is God, that he is the creator of everything that's ever been created, that we are from him, that we belong to him, that the world was made for us, his sheep, and he is our shepherd. These are great truths. They will make you worship. Now, my friends, these phrases are spiritual chewing gum. There are several of them just in that one verse. Several truths. And each phrase should be taken out and chewed, meditated upon. It actually starts out by saying Yahweh is Elohim. And what that means is the God, our God, who has redeemed us, is more than one God. He is one, but he is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the whole purpose of saying Yahweh is Elohim. He is three persons in one. Now chew on that for a while. It'll make you worship. It'll make you thankful and worshipful. You are made by God. He created us and he created the world that we live in. Meditate on these things. Psalm 100 is for singing. Psalm 100 is for meditation. It is for knowing God. Chew it, because the longer you chew it, the more it becomes sweet and satisfying. And it will make you worship the Lord. He has made us his children, and he shepherds us. Chew on that. And know about him, but know him. The fifth imperative command of the Lord is enter. Growing a thankful heart has this component, is that you actively enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And what does he mean? Well, this building is not Beulah Church. You know that, right? You've been taught that. You've read that in the scriptures. You know that to be true. You people who are sitting here, and those who are not here who are part of our family, that is Beulah, not this building. And when you enter into the gates, that means the first time you see a Beulahite, whoo, I'm glad you're here. Yeah. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. The first person we see, oh, I'm so glad to see you today, and I'm thankful to the Lord. And that should be our heart response. We may not say those words, but that's my heart response when I see you. I see you pull onto the parking lot. I see you open the door. I see you coming, entering into the gates with a heart of thanksgiving, I pray, because I'm thankful you're here. This idea of thanksgiving, and then it says to enter into his courts with praise. When you actually come in among the believers, that's the courts of praise. And we all praise the Lord. Now, when the saints gather to worship, approach them with thankful hearts. Now, not everybody's happy. And that's too bad. But we're working on it, to have glad hearts, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Sometimes life is really, really hard, and so you come in, but we have the hope, we have the promise that all things are working together for the good. Everything, as bad as this week is, I don't know how God's going to pull this one off, but I know one thing, he's going to. And this is our heart. This is how we love the Lord, by believing him. And when things are hard, we say, God, you're in control and you love us, and that's good. Because God's good. We have the assurance that God is good. And so we gather together, and when we gather together, we are building the building of God, the church. Football teams often enter the field touching some inspirational item, maybe a bronze football or a banner on the wall, because they do that for solidarity and team inspiration. Should we not do that? Should we not come in together with a sense of solidarity and inspiration that we are here, and thank God we're here, because we have a good God and he is working in us. Those teams gather around a significant reminder of some goal that they have together. For us, we enter gathering with thanksgiving and we participate with the congregation in praise. And there's no place for deadpan silence. Now, if we're worshiping the Lord and someone's sitting there and you think they're going to file their chair because, well, they're just not into it. Well, just push them on out of their chair. Because we didn't come for that. Shout to the Lord. Make a noise because that's what's in our hearts. Now, you know I'm being facetious. We should be nice to one another. There's a sixth command in this short psalm. And the sixth command is be thankful to Him. Now, He's been saying that already, be thankful. But this is different because this little sentence has a direct object. It says, be thankful to Him. Make sure you understand why we came. It's to Him. The whole psalm is about being thankful. But this sentence emphasizes the object of our thanksgiving and worship. We face the Son Jesus when we come together. We look into His marvelous face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We sing about that. He is the direct object of our praise. The church is not the object of our praise. And I like it that we have a fairly good reputation so far. And people seem to speak well of us so far. And we are enjoying that right now. And I'm thankful for that. But we are not the object of praise. The Lord that we serve is the object of our praise. Our religion is not the object of our praise. The denomination is not the object of our praise. The history of our church is not the object of our praise. What is the object of our praise? It is the Lord alone, is it not? Yahweh, the Eternal. He is the object of our thanksgiving and our adoration. Which brings us to the very last command, which is, bless the Lord. Underline that word bless if you're looking in your Bible, because it is an imperative verb also. That is, what he means is celebrate the Lord. Raise high His name. Be busy enhancing His reputation. Glorify Him. Look at the works of His hands. In this command, it's necessary for learning how to be thankful in our hearts instead of just in our heads, because in this, along with this command, are three objectives, three special blessings that He tells us to give. The first one is, celebrate that the Lord is good. You know the world believes that God is not good. You know that, don't you? When they read about hurricanes, you hear about it. When you see volcanoes and people die, you hear about it. And what do you hear about it? When they talk about God, how could a loving God do that? How could a good God do that? How could a good God allow disease? How could a good God allow that baby to die? How could a good God do this? And how could a good God do that? And so they blame Him for sin. Did He cause sin? Did He bring sin into the world? No, His whole job is redemption. Because God is good. Why do you bless the Lord? Well, number one, you bless the Lord because He's good. And when people defame the name of the Lord and say, look what God did, I can't believe God allowed that to happen, make sure you stand up for God. God did not do that. God died for the sins of the world. How could you show more love than to do this? For God loves His people and God is good. The definition of good is found in the Ten Commandments. That's what good is. And God doesn't have to try to be good. God can't help it. That's just who He is. That's His nature. He does not murder. He does not lie. He does not defame the name of the other persons in the Godhead. He does not covet. He does not envy. He does none of those things because it's his nature to be good. It's just who he is. He is not the author of death. He is not the author of mayhem. He is good. And he is the redeemer of us all. There's a second blessing that it says in this very last verse that you ought to be giving to the Lord when you give thanksgiving and worship. And that is, celebrate the Lord, for his mercy is eternal. This is a second thing that you should celebrate about God. If you can't think about anything to worship, well, here's a little list for you, supplied by the Holy Spirit. You can worship the Lord because he is good, and you can worship the Lord because his mercy endures forever. You're not just going to be saved for a little while. You're not going to get a retrial. His mercy endures forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have ever, wonder what everlasting means. It means everlasting. That's exactly what it means. And if it's anything less, well, we didn't understand the verse. Not only do we celebrate God's goodness, and not only do we celebrate his eternal mercy and faithfulness, but we also celebrate, thirdly, what the Holy Spirit says here. We celebrate the Lord for his faithfulness to all his promises. What he says, what God says, is 100%. 100%. Now, if you can't think of anything else to thank God for, just chew on that piece of gum for a while. Not one time has God ever failed in a promise. Not one time. And the history of the world now is long. We have a long track of testimony. We know about the Lord. He has never reneged on a promise. Worship the Lord for that, for his due. Celebrate that too, because you can count on every promise that God ever made. It's sure. Our hope is not like the lottery hope. Our hope is sure. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. Because God's promises are sure. Now, with that little instruction, this is from the Lord. These are 7 commands from the Lord about how to be thankful and how to worship and how to move that thanksgiving list from your head to your heart. If you will practice that, you're going to have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you do. And pray that I do. Will you? Pray that I do. Now, I want to sing a song with you, and I think you know this song. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Do you know that one? Well, that is a direct response to Psalm 100. So let's sing Psalm 100, and then let's sing the 3 blessings that we are commanded to sing, okay? So let's stand and sing it together, because this is our closing. This is the practical part of what we learned from the passage. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his whole name. Now sing that again. Bless the Lord, excuse my cold, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy. Now address him, sing to him. You have done great things. You have done great things. You have done great things. You're so good to. And then there's the second blessing to celebrate. You are merciful. You are merciful. You are merciful. You're so good to. Now, you love faithfully. You love faithfully. You love faithfully. You love faithfully. You're so good to me. Now that was a great prayer right out of the Bible. Good singing. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great